Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
I don't know why Mondays are different. Well, I kind of do. I guess it's logical that coming off of 2 days in which we don't have to work, many of us, some of us work. I suppose we actually do work all day Sunday, but at least I can sit in my chair and take notes and watch football all day Sunday. So yeah, this time of the year doesn't really apply. But Mondays are hard for lots of peeps because, well, you're coming off your weekend where maybe you don't have to get up quite as early. You don't have to be stuck behind a desk or driving or delivering or cleaning or fixing or teaching or governing. I don't know. Do politicians get weekends off? I have no idea. I just know Mondays are harder, but coming off of a Monday and having two football games, it's almost like adding insult to injury, especially when one of them's on streaming. So I'm watching on NFL Network now the Chargers and the Cardinals. I listened to it on the radio while it was airing, but now watching it. And so if you didn't see it live, well, it's available now in all of its glory. Lots of people, of course, tuning in for Buccaneers and Ravens. And man, this one, while there were some really incredible performances and some really cool storylines, and we'll talk about the Baltimore Ravens, Derrick Henry, this continues to be one of my favorite storylines and one of my favorite developments of this 2024 football season. Another tremendous night for Lamar on the football field. Although I feel like asking him about MVP might be a little bit premature in week number five or six, because he was answering questions then too. But the Ravens look amazing, and they've won five games in a row. And in this particular case, they fall into a 10-0 hole, and it's the defense against the Buccaneers that provides the turning point. And off they go, scoring on six straight possessions, coming back from that 10-0 hole and running away with it. But as always, and I can imagine Lions fans feel this, a lot of times, even when there are wins, but there are injuries, yeah, it can be somewhat enthusiasm dampening. And even after Marlon Humphrey had a pair of interceptions, that was the catalyst for the rally by the Ravens. He ends up leaving with a knee injury. Don't have an update on him yet, hoping it's not serious. Mike Evans on and off the field with a hamstring injury and dealing with that early in the game. Even at the time that he caught his 100th career reception, which is really cool. And then finishing with a Chris Godwin injury. Top two receivers, top two playmakers for the Buccaneers alongside Baker Mayfield. And they not only pointed it out on the broadcast, but you could see it just via eye test, how much harder it was for the Buccaneers to move the ball and to find any type of rhythm on offense without those two guys. And think about their tenure in Tampa. Well, Mike has played his entire career in Tampa, which is awesome. I love that. We don't get that very often. He loves Tampa. He wants to stay there. Both of these guys played, obviously, before Baker Mayfield got there. Mike Evans needed a quarterback like Tom Brady. I was so happy when he finally got one. So you're talking about veterans in the locker room who help to ease the transition when they're changing coordinators, when they're changing coaches even. I mean, Todd Bowles was on the staff and took over for Bruce Arians. Or when they're changing quarterbacks, as they did from Tom Brady to Baker Mayfield. And so you've got two guys in Godwin and Evans that really provide that stability and that leadership. When things go haywire and crazy, they're still available, whether they've been injured or not. And Godwin's dealt with some injuries, of course. Evans has been on and off the field. He's tough, though. He wants to play so badly. We know he's played at times when he's been banged up and not even close to 100%. So to lose both those guys from an offense that has a lot of young pieces in skill positions, well, that really limits what Baker can do and what the offense can do. But this idea that somehow Todd Bowles should have had his crystal ball out and foreseen an injury late in a game when the Buccaneers are playing with the hopes that they can force something else to happen. Now, they put themselves in a pretty big hole. 34 consecutive points for the Baltimore Ravens. After they fell into that 10-0 hole, they're the two interceptions by Marlon Humphrey, and then, boom, 34 points in a row. And in the final couple minutes of this game, they're trailing by a couple possessions. So, yeah, you could say the game was over and out of reach. And for all intents and purposes, very rarely are we going to see a team like the Ravens, especially, give up a lead and have it blow up in their face. But to be fair, it's not like we've never seen it. There are teams, there are comebacks, there are drastic situations that happen almost every week in football, college and pro, where you can't believe what you just saw. So to suggest that somehow Todd Bowles is to blame for Chris Godwin's injury, which right now they think is a dislocated ankle, that's just dumb. That's needing someone to blame. How often do we as human beings get upset, get emotional? Our emotions tend to defy logic, and we got to blame someone. There's got to be a scapegoat. There's got to be a person who pays. What if, hear me out, Chris Godwin's a football player and a competitor, and without Mike Evans on the field, Godwin wants to be out there just in case they can somehow manage to get the ball in their hands again and force the issue? I mean, these guys have all been part of last-minute comebacks, fourth-quarter rallies. I hate that he got injured. I do. But how often do we see veteran players who want to be out there on the field even if the game is seemingly out of reach? I think it's ridiculous to blame Todd Bowles for that. And then flip the script. What would we say if, oh, Godwin checked out because it didn't matter anymore? Those aren't the kind of competitors that I want on my team. Football is a violent game. It's a game where guys get injured all the time. They get injured in the first minute. They get injured in the last minute. And no one says a damn word about it when they're on the field and no one gets hurt and they walk to the locker room safely. What? So every time a game is a 10-point spread or even a 14-point spread, which is still two scores, and you've only got 2 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go, those guys should come off the field. Is that the rule? Does somebody want to tell me the rule so I know what the rule is? Does anybody remember 13 seconds? Does anybody remember Chiefs and Bengals in 13 seconds? These kinds of things do happen. They do. But also, to put some type of rule on it where veterans should be off the field because the game's out of reach with 2 minutes to go. And if that's not the case and they get injured, well, it's the coach's fault. It's over the top. And again, feels like looking for someone to blame. Injuries suck. Godwin himself was sitting on the cart and said, what a shame. But I'm quite certain he's not going to blame his head coach. He made me play. The game was out of reach and he made me go out there. Arg. Sometimes sports fans were a little bit over the top. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. At A-Law Radio is where you can duke it out with me. Also on our Facebook page, always glad to connect with you. I dare say the After Hours Monday MVP potentially looks different if Lamar Jackson is in the poll. Have we had back-to-back weeks with Ravens winning? I know Derrick Henry won last week, Monday MVP. Producer Pete, was it Lamar the week before?
I think we've tried to switch it up to avoid that.
No, don't say that.
We have.
Have we?
Being honest.
I feel like that's manipulation. No, I'm pretty sure the Ravens, if not Monday MVP, then it was a touchdown by Lamar that won it. Yeah, the five touchdowns for him through the air, five passing touchdowns, only missing on five throws all night for 281 passing yards and a charge for the Ravens on the ground that makes the passing game look a lot different. Man, if you can rush the way that the Ravens did, again, with 244 yards on the ground, it tends to open up the passing lanes and open up those vast spaces beyond the defense or in the second level of the defense. So Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, not just those guys. And actually, there were no rushing touchdowns in this game for Lamar. All of their touchdowns actually came through the air. Rashad Bateman with a career game. But to see them with a Justice Hill, the handful of carries. Zay Flowers just had one. He was also on the sidelines dealing with an injury. And then Lamar and Derrick Henry, who do the yeoman's share of the heavy lifting when it comes to the ground game. Man, this offense looked terrific after, I guess you could say, it got stuck in neutral there at the beginning. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. You can still vote for Monday MVP. And yeah, if you want to write in Lamar Jackson, there could be a late groundswell of support for Lamar as we wrap up a Monday and head into a Tuesday. And we'll hear from the Buccaneers and the Ravens after we get through our first break. Big news in the AFC. When it comes to quarterbacks. And so we're going to make sure we hit all of the injury updates because that's a big deal. Coming out of week number 7 is a lot to talk about. But here's a positive. At least I think it is. I'm not sure everyone will agree with me because there were certainly a lot of calls for Tua Tagovailoa to retire after he suffered another concussion earlier in the season. He's been on IR, but now he's ready to return to practice with the Miami Dolphins. What is the plan for Tua, Mike McDaniel?
Our plan is to starting practicing on Wednesday, and you know the clearing doesn't come until after some of the activity, but we're obviously doing so in the hope of everything going well so that he can play Sunday, but that will be to be determined.
It's got to be smart. My entire time playing football, I've been a competitor, and that, you know, is or was sort of my edge when I would run from high school. Even in college, I would do the same thing. But it's a professional, you know, setting. This is the professional level, the best of the best. You know, you just can't be doing that. So definitely got to stay more available for the team, for the organization, for our guys.
How about that? Tua talking about how he's just got to be smart. And I understand the competitor's edge is to go after every last inch that you can possibly grab, to dive head first instead of slide. But at this point, it needs to be intuitive. And it's not just about protecting himself. I hope that Tua doesn't see it that way. It's not about protecting himself so he doesn't get another concussion. Though that's important. I do think that's important. But if that goes against what he's felt or what he's operated with his whole career, meaning you sacrifice, you put mind and body on the line, you do whatever it takes. I mean, that in and of itself is extreme, but I understand these guys are extreme competitors, and that's what he's saying. But what if he recognizes that he needs to be smart because he needs to be on the field for his teammates? Maybe don't do it for you. As much as your wife would like you to, your kids would like you to, as much as we want you to be available to be a husband and a father 20 years down the road and not have mental cognition problems, not be able to remember what day it is or where you are or where you left your keys, not deal with dementia or other long-term injuries and side effects that are related to repeated hits to the head. I don't want that for Tua. I can't imagine anyone wants that for Tua. He's a bright young man. He's talented. He's funny. He's a good leader. He's a good quarterback. Ultimately, though, if it's not enough for him to stay safe and take fewer risks for himself, then do it for the people who are counting on you. Do it for your teammates who need you to be out there on the field. All you got to do is look back at the last few weeks when Tua wasn't available and how the Miami scoring plummeted to 12 points per game from the 29 it was last year when they were the highest scoring team in the NFL. If you can't somehow do it for yourself and protect yourself because that's not what competitors do, or you can't relearn that lesson, then do it for your family. That half yard, no doubt your teammates, your coaches, your family, they'd say, we don't need that extra half yard. Not if it means you can get up and you can take the next snap. So yeah, maybe it's about that. Maybe it's about the sacrifice for the other people who are counting on you, the other people who need you. Again, at A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, we'll have your candidates for TD of the week. Did you know that the Baltimore Ravens have rushed for 150 yards at least in every single game this season? There's some pretty impressive numbers. Derrick Henry, he's raving about Lamar Jackson blocking for him out in front. I'm raving about Derrick Henry and the addition to this squad. How many other teams out there wish they had Derrick Henry? Right now, the Ravens lead the NFL with 1,476 rushing yards through seven games, and they've run for at least 150 every time out. They are trucking people. We've got a couple of other nerd alerts in there as well about these Baltimore Ravens and what they're doing as they're trucking people. Nerd alert! Also, guess what, Producer Pete? I have an update. Yes. On the next door neighbor's obnoxious light.
He's moving.
I wish.
You're moving.
Do you want me to move?
Oh, I'm just weighing the what could be the option.
Where would you like me to go?
No, maybe to a bigger house around the corner. I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Are you kidding me? I work at a radio salary. You should know better than that. Oh, my gosh. I got into this house, and obviously before I was married and before the interest rate shot up to, I think they're triple what I'm paying right now. Mm-hmm. But also, who in the hell can afford to buy a house right now? My house, do you know that it is appreciated by almost $300,000 since I bought it?
Yep.
It's not quite doubled, but it's getting damn close to it.
It is, yeah.
Just because of supply and demand. I've done some work to it. We've done some work to it. We're building our room on the back, but that's not why. It's simple economics, supply and demand. There are not enough homes for people. So, no, we're not moving because we'd be living in a tent in a park somewhere.
I save money, you know. You never know.
No, absolutely not. I don't like spiders. At A-Law Radio, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sterling Shepard sees action as a wide out to the right side. He comes in motion. One back set, Sean Tucker. Play action fake. Dropping back as Baker Mayfield looks toward, throws the ball toward the end zone. It's a caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans has his 100th. 100 touchdowns for number 13. Fire those cannons. Fire them again.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The game started on such a high note for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Back home, playing their first game since Hurricane Milton. And Mike Evans has just one catch. And it's his 100th receiving touchdown in a career that spans more than a decade now, in which he continues to be automatic when it comes to 1,000-yard seasons. Mike Evans has just the one catch, and it is the first touchdown of the game. In fact, the first points of the game for the Buccaneers on their way to a 10-0 start. Now, he missed a couple of days of practice last week because of what the Bucs are calling this nagging hamstring. And it looked like he may have tweaked it as he was catching that ball. And if you're watching the game, in the second quarter, it looked like Baker Mayfield had been able to zing another touchdown into my...
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Mike Evans on the back of the end zone, but the ball kind of bounced away from him. He collided with a Ravens defender, and both of them were laying on the ground for a couple of minutes. At that point, Evans is grabbing his hamstring, appears to be in a lot of pain. He has to get help to stand up and limps off to the locker room, and at that point, doesn't come back. But congratulations to him. I of course hope it's not a serious injury, that one that will keep him out or one that he has to deal with the rest of the way. But that's kind of the issue, is for these guys, unless you're talking about a bye or a mini bye, you really don't get time off in the season to recover if you intend to play in every game. Evans joining Hall of Famers Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Marvin Harrison Sr., and Terrell Owens, only guys in NFL history to catch at least 100 touchdowns in the first 11 seasons of a career. How about that? He's one of my favorite guys to watch. And I love the connection that he and Baker have developed after Tom Brady retired. It's good for Mike to have somebody who can get him the football. Because when you throw the ball to Mike Evans, good things happen. And so that's the high note for the Buccaneers and the call there with Gene Deckerhoff on their radio network. But even as the Bucs are trying to nurse that lead, figure out a way to corral and contain the Ravens' run game, and of course anything to do with Lamar Jackson. Do you remember we had a caller late last week who told us that the Buccaneers were going to shut down Lamar? I may not be using the same verb as he did, but he called and he told us how the Buccaneers were going to figure out a way, or they'd figure out a way to limit Lamar and to make sure that he was ineffective. Yes, well, that's a pipe dream. Lots of defenses have that idea. You cannot stop him. You can only hope to contain him. And the more your defense gives the ball back to Lamar Jackson, well, the more dangerous he becomes.
Two deep safeties. Baker Mayfield wants to throw on 3rd and 13. Fires near sideline. Picked off again at the 40-yard line. Marlon Humphrey with his second pick of the night.
That's the call on the Ravens radio network with Jerry Sandusky. So back-to-back second quarter interceptions by Baker Mayfield. One of them in the end zone, which was particularly damaging. I don't know if you guys are watching the Monday Night Mannings, but on that particular snap, and I'm sure the audio's out there, Pete, if we decide we want to get it, but apparently, and I didn't count the number of times, but someone else did. It was three times that Eli said, throw it away, throw it away, throw it away, as Baker is waiting in the red zone. And he's got time to throw, kind of moving around the pocket a little bit, but ultimately zings the ball into the corner where a defender steps right in front of him. And Marlon Humphrey, I'm not sure if you ever saw him or not, but yeah, the first interception was in the end zone. The second one, not, but still in both cases, you give the ball right back to Lamar Jackson. Marlon did end up leaving the game with a knee injury, and so we don't know exactly what happened to him. Hopefully that's not serious either. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Once the Ravens' offense started cooking, well, it was delectable as my chili.
On 2nd and 17, Lamar to throw. Going deep, near side. He's got Bateman open to the 5. Touchdown, Rashad Bateman! And the Ravens strike again! 49 yards from Lamar Jackson.
See what I mean? That came after a missed field goal. So the Buccaneers were silving it up on a server platter. Sometimes I get very excited and I switch my syllables. I switch my sounds and my vowels. You know, it's just part of my charm. I say that because Marco Belletti made a face at me. So after two interceptions, the Ravens were able to score 10 points off turnovers. Then the Buccaneers miss a field goal in the third quarter. And what do? Well, they score again. 6 straight scoring drives for the Ravens. And it got completely ridiculous after a while.
Lamar under center. Give us to Henry. Left side breaks through the line. Cross the 15.
Oh, he's
20.
Gone.
Leg race down the sideline. 40. Midfield. The train is rolling. He's to the 30. 20. 15. And he's taken off his feet at the 10. Derrick Henry flips the field with one run. Lamar in the shotgun on 4th and 3. Takes the snap. Bucks bring blitz pressure. Lamar to the end zone. Touchdown, Mark Andrews. Lamar Jackson with his 4th passing touchdown of the night, and the Ravens are starting to pour it on here in Tampa.
Again, Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio. And yes, congratulations to Mark Andrews, who becomes the all-time leader in receiving touchdowns in Ravens history, which is pretty incredible, given that there are times where he's been injured, or even to start the season, he was not a factor, shall we say, in the Ravens offense.
incredibly grateful. And just thinking back, you got to think about getting drafted this incredible organization with a I've been blessed with incredible teammates, obviously number eight, and having that connection. But I'm fortunate to have incredible teammates, unselfish guys, and just keep on going. I'm coaches, players, everybody. And you got to look back at the guys like Todd Heap and the guys that have done it before you, and just be grateful that I'm in this situation and blessed. And like you said, just taking it week by week, I'm not satisfied.
2018, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, now into 24. And he's had a few seasons in which he has played every game, but not all of them. I mean, there's a lot of games that he's missed, again, because of injuries. But for a tight end as prolific as he has been for the Ravens, he's deserving of this honor. And love to watch him play. There aren't a lot of great tight ends in the NFL right now. There are a handful. George Kittle, obviously Travis Kelce. We've got a few more that are up and coming. I think Brock Bowers, we had talked about him last week on the Raiders with Hondo Carpenter. And there's some other good young tight ends. Marco, who else would you put in that category when we're talking about great tight ends? So I listed the three veterans. There's some up and comers. Would you put anyone else in that category, though, of like great tight ends right now?
You're talking current right now that's playing?
Yeah.
Great.
Would you put Kyle Pitts in there or no?
No.
I mean, he's got the potential.
Potential
just,
is one
it's
thing.
It's just not played out.
Doing it is totally different. Trying to go through all the tight ends on top of my head. Sometimes it's hard to remember everybody.
It is. Well, I gave you Kelce, Andrews, and Kittle. And Kittle, of course, has dealt with injuries too.
Yeah. And then Kelsey's obviously the best of that group, period. But Kittle's there. Andrews, I don't know if there's another one off the top of my head that's just jumping out.
That's what I mean. It's a position right now that's devoid of a lot of future greats. I mean, I think Brock Bowers is terrific early on. So he could have a terrific career ahead of him.
Yeah, some guys that are a little older too that are a little busted up that had good careers, but again, not great.
I'm looking for great. I'm looking for elite, if you will.
Top of my head, no. I can't think of it. I'm sure I'm missing somebody. And if I went through that, sometimes I need the teams in front of me. Just sometimes it's just the name of the team pops something out. But no, right now off the top of my head, no, I don't think there's another one. I could be missing somebody. Now I got to look through the teams. Now you got me looking through the teams.
All right, you do that. You look through the teams. Again, there could be some budding superstars in the group because there are some young guys. But in terms of established superstars, congratulations to Mark Andrews because he's definitely among those who are elite. So Lamar ends up with 5 touchdown passes. We'll get to the injury at the end of the game for Chris Godwin. But John Harbaugh's Ravens started out 0-2, and now they are 5-2.
I feel like you look at it and there's a lot of things we can get better at and we can improve upon, certainly. And we will keep striving for that, for sure. But I think all three phases, even though all three phases could have done some things better, certainly, and we'll talk about those, all three phases came through and they had to in a big way.
Well, let's ask Lamar about starting in the hole 10-0 and then rattling off 34 consecutive points.
See a team just moving the ball and putting points on the board without us scoring. We didn't really do anything. Our drive, the first drive, it's like, man, we got to have some urgency with ourselves, and that's what it was. And that, I believe that's what we did. The next couple drives, we started putting points on the board. Those guys were still getting after us a little bit, but, came out on top.
I love the moment, and I'm sure many of you saw it. I don't know, Pete, if you want to throw it up on our show, Twix, at Amy After Hours. The 81-yard run or the other long run by Derrick Henry where Lamar was out in front blocking for him is terrific. One of Derrick Henry's long scampers up the sidelines. You had him, because he's a truck, and guys, I don't even know who'd want to hit him when he's running with a full head of steam, but Lamar is his lead blocker and actually springs him free to go a little farther up the sidelines. Really incredible to see Lamar. Now, Lamar's not a big dude. he's not little, but he's not a big dude, and maybe not optimal to have your MVP quarterback out there lead blocking with guys who are more than willing to take a pot shot at quarterbacks when they have an opportunity. But this is a game in which Lamar played near perfect. His passer rating was near perfect, and yet he's out there blocking for Derrick Henry.
It's unbelievable, somebody as a quarterback and his caliber to be down selfish, to be blocking downfield. The teammate he is, man, and that's the type of guy that can have a hell of a game and don't even know any stats. All he knows is the guys he threw to and the guys he scored. This dude's just incredible, man. Like I said in an interview a couple weeks ago, I think he's the GOAT for sure.
The GOAT. The GOAT? He is a GOAT? Is it a field with more than one goat? Can there be more than one goat?
Pet peeve? I'm tired of the goat.
I know, me
Everybody's
too.
Everybody's a goat.
I know.
Everybody.
Everybody.
It's not.
That's what I'm point. Asking. Can we have a field full of goats?
No, it's nonsense. Honestly, it drives me crazy. I understand the sentiment. I understand what you're trying to say, but it doesn't make any sense when everyone is the greatest of all time.
We're such a society of superbly. Superbly? Wait, superbly? Hyperbole. I was trying to say superlatives and hyperbole. It's okay. You can laugh at me. I'm definitely not the goat. That's okay. Superbole. Actually, last week I made up the word. You missed it. I made up the word meticulous. Can you figure out where that came from?
Well, I got meticulous in particular.
Yes,
is that what that is?
Absolutely. Okay. That's actually the point I was making about who was it I was talking about? His preparation. He's meticulous. Oh, Otani. Meticulous and particular. And so I put them together as meticulous. And get this. My husband and I are now using the word. I mean, it makes perfect sense. You're meticulous. Are you
I
not?
I can see it. Yeah.
Yes, right? So now it's superbly.
Get a trademark on that word.
There you go.
Sell some merch.
Can we do that? Wait a minute. Can you do that? Because I have nothing to do with this. But I want to get
can
in.
Can we supplement
you know, be
some
money.
Income? Yeah, right. Superbly. It makes perfect sense to me.
Not bad.
The funny part is, though, you guys didn't see Marco's face. I said superbly, and he started to think about, wait a minute, is that a word?
I was honestly trying to figure out the root word of what you were trying to say. Because sometimes it's easy, and you're just like, oh, yeah, you messed up. But I was kind of trying to figure out where it was coming from, and I wasn't sure.
Oh.
I wasn't sure.
Nice. Okay, here's what I want to know from the peeps. Producer Pete, are you ready? Are you going to be here next hour?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. You can play this game with us, too. After the Chiefs, who are the next best teams in the NFL? So, you know how people love to do power rankings. Chiefs are obviously number one. Who comes after that? 2, 3, 4, 5. We're through week 7. Let's go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's neither the Chargers nor the Cardinals, so don't put them in the top five. Here's our latest sports update. And here's the superbly goat, Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And it was sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote. Progressive.com. Well, the Ravens spotted the Bucs a 10-point lead and then just flat out took over.
Here on 3rd-and-7 from the Bucs 13, Lamar wants to throw. Slings it. Complete. Henry at the 5. The King is in! 5 touchdown passes for Lamar. And with 6:32 left to play in Tampa, the Hayes and Lamar.
5th-and-final TD pass of the night for Lamar Jackson, who threw for 281, ran for another 52. Derrick Henry, 15 carries, a buck 69. Ravens overpowered the Bucks 41-31. Call credits to the Ravens Radio Network. Baker Mayfield, 370 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. And worse for Tampa, Mike Evans left this one with a hamstring injury, and Chris Godwin carted off with what appeared to be a significant leg injury with under a minute remaining.
You got an ankle. Early indication that it's dislocated. See? Doesn't look good.
That's head coach Todd Bowles. In the other game, Chad Ryland drilled a 32-yard field goal as time expired, lifted the Cardinals over the Chargers 17-15. Kyler Murray threw for 145, ran for another 64, 2 total scores. Justin Herbert, 349 yards passing in the loss. Elsewhere, Lions wide receiver Jameson Williams reportedly facing a 2-game suspension by the NFL for violating the league's performance-enhancing substance policy. Dolphins might be getting a sight for sore eyes Sunday as Mike McDaniel giving the latest on Tua Tagovailoa.
Our plan is to start practicing on Wednesday, and you know the clearing doesn't come until after some of the activity, but we're obviously doing so in the hope of everything going well so that he can play Sunday, but that will be to be determined.
49ers lost Brandon Ayuk for the season, torn ACL, while Deebo Samuel's in the hospital with a form of pneumonia. No timetable for his return. Washington listing Jaden Daniels week to week with a rib injury. They hopefully won't miss any time. Raiders signing Desmond Ridder off the Cardinals practice squad after they lost Aiden O'Connell 4 to 6 weeks with a broken thumb. Browns now going Jameis Winston and Deshaun Watson, done with a ruptured Achilles. One game in the NHL, Maple Leafs ripped the Lightning 5-2 behind a pair from William Nylander. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Murray will go under center now from the Charger 44. Play action fake. Murray steps to his left. Now Murray's going to run. He's got room to the 40. Murray to the 35. Down the sideline to the 30. Across the 20. To the 10. He's going to go all the way. Kyler Murray, 44 yards, and the Cardinals take the lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Our friend Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. Murray rushing 44 yards up the sideline for a touchdown in the second half. Not only gave the Cardinals the lead, but the momentum, full head of steam they needed to be able to win this game. So put them in a good rhythm. And honestly, they were able to run the ball fairly easily. Nearly 200 yards rushing. So the two winners on Monday Night Football, both taking advantage of the opportunities on the ground. Both of them run first. As much as Lamar had five passing touchdowns, I love that it was run to set up the pass. And for Kyler, while he's gone through injuries and there have been so many changes in Arizona since he got there, to be able to feel as good as he does and as confident as he does, and to be able to move still with the speed that he can, is terrific after coming off of that ACL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So once that happened, then the Chargers were able to put together a long scoring drive. Problem with the Chargers, and this is in the fourth quarter, the problem with the Chargers is that in all of their moving up and down the field, and they were able to amass more than 380 yards of offense. In all of their moving up and down the field, they were essentially going from the 40 to the 40, from the 30 to the 40. They were unable to get into the red zone more than one time and settling for field goals. That's what they had. So I know they were able to put together long scoring drives. Although I guess it says something about your offense when you need 8-plus minutes and 15 plays and only come up with a field goal. But to not take advantage and get into the end zone, that's rough. And so they just left way too many points out there. So after their 8-plus minute field goal drive, their fifth of the game, they're leading just by the 1 point. They give the ball back to Kyler and the Cardinals with under 2 minutes to go. And right away, the Chargers defense incurs a penalty, 15 yards, unnecessary roughness. And then after that, James Conner catches a short pass, rumbles 33 yards, puts them right into field goal range.
The Cardinals down 1, 2 seconds left. No timeouts remaining for the Chargers. Ryland is ready. Gillikin to hold. Snap. Ball down. The kick is up. And the kick is good. And the Cardinals win it 17-15.
To go 3-4 instead of 2-5, be right there in the division. Just, you know, one game at a time, one day at a time. And we know where this puts us. But at the same time, you know, we can't look too far ahead. Obviously, like I said, we got to stay locked into the process.
It's actually kind of interesting about the NFC West. Right now, the Seattle Seahawks are the only team in that division that are above 500. They're 4-3 after beating the Falcons this weekend. Cardinals and Niners are sitting at 3-4. And Cardinals actually, just for now, have the tiebreak because they already beat San Francisco. As for Jim Harbaugh, he's a little subdued.
It was a game of a lot of, you know, near misses or close calls. And, you know, that's, I thought both teams played well. You know, came down to a lot of details of, you know, a lot of things. So yeah, I'm putting it on one play.
Well, of course not. That's true. There were a lot of points left out there, a lot of details that the Chargers aren't yet taking care of. Now, I know they've had a bunch of transition, not just a new head coach who is going to turn them into a winning organization. I believe that. But it's also about the fact that they've turned over almost every offensive skill player around Justin Herbert. So that's part of it, too. 1 hour in da books. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.